the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 527. I am Lisa Shep.
I am joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
I love you till the end of time. Come one man.
It is Wednesday, July 31st, 2019. On the show today, we have Broad City Theater and their show, MS. And later on, we'll be talking to Candace Rusk and her show, Rosetta. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Taylor, and Sheboygan. Stick with us.
Hey sister, go sister, soul sister, flow sister.
Yeah. Hey sister, go sister, flow sister, go.
You guys
sister,
like,
in case you didn't hear that the way they did it.
Sister.
Sister. Well, that, of course, was from the Broadway production of Moulin Rouge, which opened last week. But before we talk about Moulin Rouge, well, before we talk about anything, let me check in with Nicole Shiro. We missed you last week.
I missed you.
You were overwhelmed last week.
I had the Holland Taylor in town, and it was crazy.
You had the Holland.
I did.
We let a friend of the show.
Yes, she is a friend of the show. She was in here. She couldn't believe I was on a board doing things. She was laughing.
She's an AFS.
She is.
Yes, she absolutely is. Another great show by Mr. Kim Simpson and the International Folk Bazaar.
Because he rocks it like
he
that.
He does. He's bizarre that way.
He's bizarre and folky all at the same time with a little international.
So let's introduce the folks that are here with us.
We have a great little group today.
We do. This is a perfect size.
Normally, it's the perfect size too. Sometimes there's like one lone person who we love, but then they feel like, what's going on? Okay. Or it's billions.
Well, let us know who these people are. We have Craig Towngate. Am I pronouncing that right?
No. What's, Tungate.
Tungate. Yes. But it's spelled Towngate.
Well, if... Not
Can you
really.
Change it?
No. It's T-O-U-N. How do you spell young, Lisa?
I spell young.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then here you go. Then I'm Craig Towngate then. Okay.
Candace Rusk, hi.
Correct pronunciation.
Thank you.
Don't call me Candace.
Molly, here we go, because you... Fonseca. Molly Fonseca.
I think spell that's correct.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Why is your microphone not on? Try that again.
Yes, that was correct.
Okay.
Fonseca.
And Annika Lekvin.
Yeah, there you go. I got it.
Okay. Well, so before we talk about Moulin Rouge, less than an hour ago, I got an alert on my phone.
A sad one,
saying that Hal Prince, at age 91, passed away.
I'm making a sad face
for
the radio
so,
listeners.
So, in honor of Hal Prince, let's just take a moment and listen to him in his own words.
No show gets a free ride because you had a success before. You're as naked as you were the first day you worked, and you better make it good.
So, Hal Prince produced and directed... like zillions. But do you know what his, I don't remember, I had it up on IBDB, his first show was in the 50s. I forgot the name of it, but so he's known as a director and producer, but he wasn't a director or producer on his first show. What was he? What was his role in
An
that
actor.
Show? Candace as an actor.
I was like, I thought he was. Was he in the show? That's what I was going to say.
Anybody else?
Stage manager.
Very good. Annika wins.
Dun, dun,
he was a stage
manager. And
Annika
is doing a dance. We needed our video camera today.
So he was a stage manager. So, of course, I went and I was looking and I fell down the rabbit hole of IBDB. But his IBDB list is
his
just
career is easy
huge.
To go down a rabbit hole. Yeah. So I could understand that.
But people will know he did West Side Story, Pajama Game, what's the one that I love? Fiddler on the Roof. There's like every revival of Fiddler on the Roof has Hal Prince's name on it.
Because it meant a lot to him too.
Yeah. So rest in peace. And maybe next week we'll talk further about him because it just happened. I didn't have a lot of time. There is the New York Times has a very long and extensive obituary. And in that obituary is a video a 9-minute interview with him from 2003, which to hear a little bit of. It's very interesting.
I was saying to you, we're so lucky that they done that revival in just the last few years.
The Prince of Broadway. Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, it started, they did it first in Japan. Remember, I found that weird before they brought it here. And I was just like, how perfect that he was able to see that completely transform and be alive and be a part of it and be able to speak about it. Like, very recently, still working.
Yep.
He's like Willie Nelson. He's going to keep doing it forever and ever.
Well,
and I have a problem with that. I'm all down with it.
Okay, me too. Well, good.
I'm glad he checked with me beforehand. I just wanted to let you know.
Willie called earlier and said, he says, I've got somebody offering me a gig. Do you think Nicole will be okay with it?
I said, please keep going. Please.
So Moulin Rouge. So who here is Moulin Rouge the movie fans? I know Nicole is not. I am.
Really? I'm a fan.
Yeah, so those of you on the radio, Craig raised his hand. Doesn't really work on the radio all that well, but I will. I'll. So yeah, I liked it. But I think there's a cadre of people. Is one of those things that you either like or you don't like, which is interesting because that's exactly what the reviews did. So there's a rave in the New York Times. It went from a rave to pan to mix.
I was like, this was the most bipolar reading. It was like, boom. I was like, whoa, Jekyll. Oh, wait, Hyde's back. Oh, wait, no, Jekyll. Who wrote this?
So would you consider it to be a cult then? A cult film?
This is a Broadway show.
The film was a cult film too, I would say. Yeah. Yes.
I disagree. I have a feeling if you and I went to see it, I would like it and you wouldn't. I'm just guessing.
The musical?
Yes. Anyway.
Not for the prices. No, thank you.
Let's say we got a free ticket.
I did try to go to it when it was in Boston before they moved it. And I couldn't, when I went for my cousin Vinny's wedding last summer. Okay. And I couldn't fit it in there in those 2 days.
So let's let people know who's in it. It is,
Great people are in it. Aaron Tveit. Tveit, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just awesome.
Aaron Tveit is playing, what's his name? I keep forgetting the people's names. And Karen Olivo is playing Satine.
Your man from Fiddler recently,
and
Danny Bernstein.
Who, according to Ben Brantley, did their best work ever in this show.
I could see Danny doing that with this and that.
Directed
character.
By Alex Timbers. And it was arranged and orchestrated by Justin Levine. And we talked about this last week. I don't know if you listened to the show, but we spent a lot of time talking. There was an article about just getting the music rights for this. And there's some 60 different songs from pop culture from the 80s through current.
And let me just tell you, music rights are a very interesting beast.
Well, I would imagine.
Correct. And as we discussed yesterday, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So there's the music rights of performing it here, but they're performing it on the stage, but they are also doing a cast album, and that's a whole nother
mishigas. Yeah.
And so that's...
An equity book and rules was a nightmare. Yeah. Whoa, open up the music world.
So listen to what Ben Brantley says about Karen Olivo's performance. Miss Olivo, in a performance that sends her into the constellation of great musical actresses, gives us a figure of palpable flesh who deploys a coquettish arsenal of wiles and illusions to conceal illness, desperation, and a hard-lived past.
That just sounds like word salad and not really an opinion. It's just word salad.
Well, no, it's
word
salad. I'm going to respectfully disagree, counselor. So this is these are the Democratic debates here at Offstage and on the Air. But he Ben Brantley loved it. Let's go the other direction with Sarah Holdren and Vulture, which was in the other spectrum. And oh my, there's so much more fun to talk about a negative review than
there were a few where I went, oh my. I think I said, bless your heart at one point.
She says at the very top of the review, quote, Moulin Rouge is something more unsettling than not good. Mm-hmm. It's not even very interesting. There's a shapelessness about it, a weird innervation underneath the flash and bang. And he says, I'm going to just keep going because it's directed by Alex Timbers, but feels like it was assembled by committee, even by algorithm.
Ooh.
I know, amazing.
That's deadly, but I love it.
She goes on to say Moulin Rouge is a singularly unsatisfying smorgasbord.
Ooh. Yeah, I could see all that. I tried getting excited. I watched the songs as they came out, I was like, womp, womp.
Yeah, and see, and I am, whoop, whoop. I'm totally ready to see it. It looks great to me. Yeah. So this is what makes horse races.
But this is, you know what? This is exactly what Hal and I had this whole conversation. It's not. I don't want to like everything. I don't think anyone should like everything. That means there's something out there for everyone.
There is.
And that's what's beautiful about theater.
But bottom line, most of the reviewers praised the cast. Even Sarah Holdren said the cast is doing the best that they can under the circumstances.
Really good cast, man. Yeah.
So it looks really good, and there's the richness to the look of the piece. If you look at any of the photographs, it looks rich and beautiful, very much like the movie was, the Baz Luhrmann movie. And it also has, so instead of coming from England, I forgot the character's name, that's the writer.
I remember all their names in there.
He came from Ohio. So mm-hmm. they, so Aaron.
Why, oh, why, oh.
Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh.
Did I ever leave Ohio?
Did I ever leave Ohio? So they also, Sarah Holdren, one of the things that disappointed her is they stuffed a lot of new songs in, contemporary songs, mm-hmm. got rid of old ones, and what you're not going to see, according to Sarah Holdren, I can't believe she would lie to me, she never has, but the spectacular scene from the movie, which is amazing, yeah. not in the play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and some other things.
The design elements and the creative aspect of it, I've been enthralled by.
Looks
pretty. The way they built the elephant and the windmill and put it all within the house and the eye candy and the design, mm-hmm. like that is all. But yeah, why?
It sounds like.
But again, you got to make something for everyone. You know,
sounds like you're going to walk into the Hirschfield and you'll feel very much like you did when you walked into the Great Comet at the Imperial, mm-hmm. where you're just as soon as you walk into the house, you're transformed rather than waiting for the curtain to come up and falling into this.
Just so you know, that's how Rocky Horror was too in the revival with Joan Jett.
Rocky Horror? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not a fan of that show.
I know, but I'm just letting you know, the minute you walked into the theater.
Yeah, and the minute I walked into the theater, I'd turn around and walk out.
Oh, no, it was so good.
You'll find that Nicole and I agree on very few things, which is what makes everything so interesting. Yeah. So Faye Dunaway. Did you
oh my
about
gosh.
This?
I there was a whole joke back and forth. Aunt Chickalella emailed me about this. I'm like, aren't you overseas? She's like, Shiro, I had to email you this. And then we went back and forth. Oh my gosh.
So first of all,
fired.
I don't read enough of the gossipy stuff or the lifestyle stuff. So I had no idea that Faye Dunaway was so difficult to work with and known as someone who is difficult to work with.
Yes.
So she was doing a one woman show called Tea at Five, and she got
it's a one woman
show about Katharine Hepburn, and she got fired. But what I love about
she abused the crew, like physically assaulted
them.
Okay,
let me finish the story. What I love about this particular story. Is the way it's come to us from the media. So there's the New York Times article. Faye Dunaway is dropped from the Broadway-bound play about Katharine Hepburn is the title. And then there's the Michael Riedel story, which Faye Dunaway fired from Broadway-bound TFI for slapping crew member. Let's just say that the Times stuck to the facts at hand. To things that could be confirmed, so therefore it is a boring article. So let's concentrate on the Michael Riedel.
Well, I laughed and I said, that's so Joan Crawford ever. And Anne goes, but it's a play about Katharine Hepburn. I'm like, but she played Mommy Dearest. And it was this whole back and forth.
Both the article in the Times and the Post talked about having coat hangers backstage.
Yes.
So there
and,
you go.
And apparently that was not the first time she had assaulted. You got to read the English papers because they say it with tea and it's all quite lovely, but they dish it out.
So Michael Rito's column quote said, on stage at the Huntington Theater in Boston where Tea at Five was trying out, Dunaway was playing Katharine Hepburn. Backstage, she was channeling Joan Crawford. The deranged, abusive film star Dunaway played in the 1981 movie Mommy Dearest. Oh, so evidently, there was one performance that got canceled. New York Times says it's an undisclosed reason. Michael Riedel, of course, didn't worry about the facts. He made sure he told people because it was when she threw stuff at the crew.
It happened before the curtain went up.
Right, just before the curtain went up. And it had to do with a wig that they were putting on her. Mm-hmm. She evidently was plucking the gray hairs out of the wig because she wanted to play the character younger. And she did not, according to Riedel, and so we need to consider the source, but I don't know. I want to believe it. She couldn't memorize her lines. She was getting through.
I was about to say
IFB.
She couldn't. I just want to let you know. I heard about a lot of this sugarness going on before this all came out. So I tend to believe Michael Riedel on this one.
Yeah, I do too.
Sorry.
So she allegedly.
Sorry, Faye.
she allegedly threw mirrors, combs, and boxes of hairpins at the staff of the theater. So they fired her. But the producers put a two-word...
Someone went, no more shows for you! myself up over here.
The producers announced it in a two-sentence press release. The producers of Tea at Five announced today that they have terminated the relationship with Faye Dunaway. Plans are in development for the play to have its West End debut next year with a new actress to play the role of Katharine Hepburn.
I laughed so hard. I saw that. I was like, oh, that press agent was having a bad day.
Yep. Okay.
It's not funny, but it's funny. But it's
it
not
isn't
funny.
And it's really.
I'm so proud that someone did what they did. I'm so proud that that's not allowed to go on. So.
Well, what's unfortunate about that kind of behavior is oftentimes it just masks a huge insecurity.
Uh-huh.
Like when I worked at, I did a show that Don Ameche was in, and he was just awful, but mostly it's because he was so scared. He couldn't remember his lines. He felt overwhelmed, and he was just it came out as bitter. So
it's also Dunaway's. Boston is used to live in the Prudential Center, not far from the Huntington, with Peter Wolf, and used to see. Remember what band is he from? Peter Wolf.
No.
Oh.
But they lived there for a long time. Used to see her walking around Boston.
Cool.
That's funny.
I talked last week about New York Musical Theater Festival, and the show that I chose to talk about was a show called Till. And there was a review of Till, although it's already closed because it's part of the festival.
Wasn't it the opening one, right?
Well, it's a festival, so
yeah, I know,
goes through. I think it went all the way through it. But it's a book by Leo Schwartz and D.C. Cather with the music and lyrics by Leo Schwartz. It's about, tells the story of Emmett Till and his mother in this. One of the things I found interesting in this article, and they talk about the New York Musical Theater Festival, and of course we know, people that listen to this show know, that it bored shows like Title of Show and things like that. They're not known for doing really hard-hitting, edgy kind of musicals, but this one broke that mold because it talks about Emmett Till's death, and they showed Emmett Till not as we see him in history, or those of us on our side of the political aisle, see him in history as a total victim, which indeed he was in this case. But he was also not the nicest kid in the world, evidently. Mm. He was a typical teenager. He was 14 years old, and he had all that same teenager stuff that
hormonal,
we as adults don't like
pain in, the
in a child. So that they portrayed him as that, which I thought was interesting. But it got really nice reviews. It said it was part gospel.
You
part...
played some of the music.
I did. I played one of the songs. Mm-hmm. So it came out, and there's four shows from the New York Musical Theater Festival were reviewed in this article, and you can find it on our website when we post the show. So the other thing I want to talk about, Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell musical.
Oh, can we? What do you want to talk about on this one now? Because we've talked about it a lot.
Yes, I know.
I have a lot to say about this.
Okay. Well, this is not huge, but the
water scene.
The water scene, yeah.
Man, what's that all about?
Well, okay, so there's
their excuse is lame because you and I saw it in the Scottish theater.
Let's talk about it first, and then we can complain about it. in the West End production, there is a stunt where an actor jumps into a pool of water. He's in there for about a minute, and he comes out in a different costume.
It's like a whole costume change underwater.
Cool. That's really cool.
Which they are not bringing to the Broadway show.
It's like a bat out of hell.
They're not bringing the Broadway show because, let's see.
And let me put air quotes in here.
Yeah. Oh, and also when that happens, it produced audible gasps from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It has been taken out of the U.S. version. So I love this paragraph. This is from, it's from page 6. While sources told us that it's because of American Actors Union is more uptight than its British counterpart about the potentially dangerous stunts, sources close to the production told us that the stage at the New York City Center can't accommodate the water tank, which I kind of believe.
That I believe. But the other part of the Actors Equity, I'm like, well, that just doesn't work because you and I saw the National Scotland Theater of Scotland, and they had the whole scene with the water tank here in the U.S. straight from Scotland, and did the costume change.
True. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Now you know. And I was like, but I've seen it in America.
Maybe it has to do with this. So,
no, I honestly could see that stage being a problem for that. Not all theaters would be able to do that, and I get it.
Okay.
But let's just talk about Lena Hall's in it now.
Oh, she is? I did not
know
that.
Yes, she is.
Lovely.
Woo!
Lena Hall, we know from many things, but probably best known as Yitzhak in Hedwig.
Revival of Hedwig.
Revival of Hedwig. So,
the Broadway one.
Yeah. So Brian Cloudus is the person that does all those site-specific shows with a helicopter and things like that. Evidently, he also produces in other places, and he's doing
the Hotlanta Man.
He's doing a site-specific in the Blue Ridge Mountains at the Wintergreen Resort, a site-specific Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these packages you can buy where you where you go and you eat Sound of Music food and you do Sound of Music things. And evidently you go up the ski lift to where the play is going to happen. Where, guess what happens when it's up there, when you're up there at the top of the hill?
What,
they're alive with the Sound of Music.
They come alive, yes.
He did that brilliant. He talked that he was going to do this when he did the Titanic last year out on the water and the platform sank.
That was cool.
And he did Peter Pan in the woods, and he made a lost. He made Never Never Land, and he said that next summer he wants to do. He mentioned this last summer that he was doing it.
So he this is playing September 5th through the 29th. And
wow, what a beautiful time!
You go
to
the link
in the mountains,
and you can see it's actually pretty smart because this is a ski resort, and so there's no skiing that happens at that
time.
But
it's the beginning of fall.
I'm all for it. It's gonna be beautiful.
The colors there.
So they have different packages that you can get. You have the family adventure weekend and the couples weekend, and then there's a discussion group weekend.
Yeah, not my bag.
Yeah, not my bag either, but could be somebody's bag. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that looks like a lot of fun. I love these site-specific things. One day I'm going to do
one. He's smart. He is. Atlanta is lucky to have them.
He's got smarts. We're not going to talk about this right now because we want to make sure we have plenty of time to get to all our guests. Hannah, has anybody seen the Hannah Gadsby's Nanette thing on
Netflix?
Several
times.
Yeah, so she has a new one that is...
Douglas.
Show called Douglas. Yeah,
I saw it twice.
You did?
Yes. Here.
Where?
Here.
Here?
Yes.
Where,
Paramount.
Who did it here?
At the Paramount.
Oh, awesome. Well, so Douglas is now in New York, and there's a review. It's a very positive review. So do you know where both the names Nanette and Douglas came from?
Yes.
Say, tell us.
But do I really... But it's so obvious because I've seen the show twice.
It wasn't a quiz.
Her dogs.
Just her dogs. They have nothing to do with the text that she's saying, but it's her dogs.
Every time I hear the name Nanette, I just start singing No, No, Nanette.
But she has a very interesting story of what Douglas actually is. And it is a hidden part of female anatomy. And she will explain it during the show, which is pretty wild.
It sounds like an amazing thing. In our continued discussion of regional theaters, I just want to talk about the Pioneer Memorial Theater in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Utah?
Which I had never heard of. It's part of the University of Utah. In their press And on their website, they say they are a Lort company. And indeed, I saw somewhere where they're paying Lort B salaries. Mm-hmm. But on the League of Resident Theaters website, they do not mention that it exists.
So you wouldn't know what? They probably have a Lort. You can have a Lort contract and not be a
and
Lort
not be a
theater.
Lort theater. But mm-hmm. they say they're a Lort theater.
Yeah, that's a big no-no.
Anyway, they started building in July of 1960. They've been around for a long time. They do some, looks like some really wonderful performances. What's her name? The current creative artistic director is Karen Eisenberg.
Who's that name familiar?
Yeah, well, I don't know if she's related to Manny Eisenberg, but Manny Eisenberg is a big producer of Broadway. But she, I didn't print out her CV, but she was, I think she was the president of. It used to be called SSDNC. It's now, I think it's just called SSD, the union that covers directors and choreographers.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And I was just in Salt Lake City. I wish I had known that there was a quality theater in there.
Salt Lake City has some of the best arts. Their ballet company is actually one of the top five ballet companies in the United States. So it's very, Salt Lake City is a kicking art scene.
They have a distinction of being the first company in the United States to obtain the producing rights for Les Mis after it finished.
You know why? Because they heard the people sing.
They heard the people sing.
The sounds of angry men.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break, and we're going to hear some Sound of Music, but since, you know...
You played it for me, didn't you?
Why do it in English when you could do it in whatever language this is?
Oh, well, that makes
me
excited.
If he's not exact, he may crush the motor track. So the bad news is you...
Okay, that wasn't it. I don't know what happened to it. You know why it's not on the...
Why? Thought it was.
No, it's not one of my... I like it. I actually do like Sound
no,
of Music.
No, I know
music.
You do, but why
but
isn't
no,
it?
Not any... Why isn't it? Because there's so many other choices. Well, anyway, so let's take a break. The reason why it's not on the system is because I did not put it there.
Know what? That's a good reason.
Yeah, so we're going to listen to the song that we're going to listen to at the very end, and we're going to listen to it again. It's from Be More Chill, and it talks about loving play rehearsal. So stand by. We will be right back.
Sounds good. 'Cause
you are equipped with direction.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And a cast of thousands.
Yay.
Yeah, okay, that's the thousands.
Let's go wild.
So, we've had great conversations up to this point. So let's narrow our focus and talk to Broad Theater and their show MS by Molly Fonseca.
Nailed it.
Yay. Nailed it. and directed by Annika Lekven, and we are...
No.
Starring Annika.
Directed by Molly Fonseca. Double duty by Molly
I'm trying
Fonseca.
To, you know, I operate by memory, and it's not a good thing. So tell us about this play.
Yeah, this is a new play. It has had a small Austin life in that in 2010, it was part of Frontera Fest and was Best of the Fest back then. At the time, I was the one acting in it, and now Annika and I have decided to give it a new life, and we have rewritten it, and now it's got a whole new thing going on, and Annika's acting in it, and I'm so happy to be directing and working with her.
Is it? Did you change it? Or did you lengthen it?
We lengthened it.
Okay. I was gonna say, yeah. What is the rewrite? Is it different or lengthened or?
It's lengthened. Yeah, and there's some new other little bits and jokes and things added, but I'd say it's mainly the same story. But it's
so what can you give us an idea of the plot? What's it about?
It's about a young woman. Her name is Maybe. She is in college. She's a sophomore in college. She's studying to be an actor, and she finds out that she's having some problems with like a leg and a speech problem, and she doesn't know why, and she starts going to the doctor. And it's a one-person show, so Annika has the challenge of playing herself, well, I mean, the character Maybe, and then the doctors and kind of the medical staff that she interacts with. Mm-hmm.
So, Annika, how is that for you? Have you ever done a one-person show before?
I have never done a one-person show before. It is a really fun, terrifying challenge.
Yeah. FTC, we call those.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But it's honestly been really, really fun and... Definitely something that I don't know what to say. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and that has to, just doing a one-person show as one character is a feat within itself, but then to play multiple characters within that,
Yeah,
it's mind blown for sure. Yeah.
So Molly, you wrote it and you are directing it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever consider having someone else direct it to have a third eye on the piece? I was just curious.
You know, I've had a lot of eyes on the piece over the years. I actually wrote it, the majority of it, the first draft, for a class in grad school. We took like a one person performance class. And so I had a lot of eyes on it. Like 10 years ago, and a lot of eyes on it over the years. And I didn't really want to, it wasn't hard enough giving up control of the acting to someone that I trust and love very much, Annika. I don't think I was ready to step back from it.
I hear
completely.
You. As one control freak to another, I appreciate it. What was the impetus for writing the piece?
It's mostly based on a true story about me. When I was a sophomore in college, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
And
which is a terrifying diagnosis, I would assume.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, especially if you can't even drink about it because you're 20. So,
drink about it. Okay, I got it.
I was just about to go, that was good. I like that line.
I'm gonna play some money that you did anyway.
I didn't. I was such a great touche.
Oh, okay.
I just really felt like now we are in such a great place in our culture right now where we're talking about mental health and we're talking about these challenges that at the time when I was going through this in like 2003, you know, people weren't saying to me that it was okay to talk about your pain.
Right.
And now like, let's talk about it. Let's get that stuff out there.
Yeah.
And definitely. It's so universal.
I've had friends that have been diagnosed and so young. And I think that's also the big kicker because everybody's like, no, MS is when you get older. And
right.
I'm like, no, there's no age
absolutely
to
not.
Any
yeah.
of that.
Right.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that you had this outlet and be able to put it forward and tell this story. And
so I want to take a little tangent just for a moment. And Annika, could I get you to choose a number between 2 and 53, please?
2 and 53?
Yes.
I know. It's
34.
34. Let's see what that is.
Hi, I'm David Lee Strasberg, creative director of the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute. And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Hey, can you do it once more with feeling?
If you want.
Good choice. So I'm gonna say this right on the air right now. I am firing I was gonna say I was firing the engineer because they're not doing a very good job today. Now all the problems we've had today have been operator errors. So
no, they're gremlins.
Okay, they're gremlins.
Yes.
So you guys are prepared to do a little piece of this for us here on the radio, yes?
Yes, we did.
Do you want to set it up at all?
It is the opening monologue.
Okay.
That's all the setup I think it needs. Is there anything else you would like to add, Molly?
No.
So this is Annika Lekvin doing a piece from Broad Theater's production of MS.
Have you ever had one of those days? You wake up in the morning and drive wherever, the store, the bank, the wherever. And you've been driving for God knows how long, and you look down and see the light is on your low fuel, or empty fuel in this case, and you don't even know how long it's been on, but it's 100% on now, not teetering back and forth in a will they, won't they sort of way, just bright yellow on. And what can you do but keep going? And on this particular day, you don't even have a credit card or a debit card, and you never have cash ever. Even on the perfect day when your car is gassed up and you've washed your hair and flossed, you still don't have cash, ever. But this day, no plastic cash, no real cash, and no license. So what can you do? You just keep driving to your predetermined destination, and you get there. Presumably somewhere you don't need monetary things, like the library. Unless you have fines, which I always do. But in this situation, none. And you get back in your car and head home, knowing that an unfortunate situation you will not be able to handle alone is 2 seconds away. And if you're anything like me, you don't have a cell phone either. Or maybe you do have a cell phone on your person, but it's dead or turned off for lack of payment. Or there's not a single person who lives in the state who would go out of their way to help you, so you're just screwed. Just waiting for this looming danger. It's on the horizon. You can't forget about it because every time you look down, you see that little mocking gas can reminding you that you are about to be royally screwed over. Okay, so also in this situation, you get home safely, thank God. But the next day or time you need to be anywhere that's not your house, you get in your car and do the same thing again. No gas, no money, no phone. You never learn your lesson, doomed to repeat, constantly dreading an unfortunate situation that could have been avoided if only you had been properly prepared. Well, that is every day now. Except for that whole possibility of being properly prepared thing. There's no way to be properly prepared for any of this.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. That's a great monologue.
That was a great monologue.
Great monologue. Who here has run out of gas?
We call that gas.
I have. on Mopac, on the highway,
oh, no.
I didn't know what was happening. I thought my car had broken down. And I had to, like, thankfully, I was near an exit. So I pulled off immediately into the exit. And I like, rolled into a McDonald's. And I had to be towed. And it was awful.
That is funny. I will tell you this, without going into gritty details. Do not run out of gas if you drive a Prius. Just tell me.
Oh, no.
Don't do it. Well, that's an amazing precursor to, and I think that if you have even an inkling of what MS is, that's going to just sort of give you the nice brush with which to paint the rest of the show.
Yeah, and it's a comedy. We definitely want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Okay.
So
there's a lot of goofs and
gags.
There's
a lot of jokes about male anatomy happening. So.
A lot.
is it one act or?
Yeah, it's about under an hour. So it's a pretty quick evening, yeah. But. Yeah.
What are we bringing our kids to this, or what are we PG-13?
PG-13.
It's a PG-13.
It's more appropriate. It sounds like
sure.
it.
Yeah.
And you're in the pony shed at the Vortex.
We are.
At that little shed.
It is. Yes. It's very intimate.
And so how many people do you seat in there?
We're hoping for about 20.
Yeah. In that shed.
In that
oh,
shed.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We can make it.
I mean, it's hot. You know, let's all squeeze in together and just tell a story and have some fun.
Bring some lemonade.
We'll have water for everyone. Butterfly bar's open too. So
honestly, really like the venue. I was a little hesitant, but after moving into it, I think it's really, really interesting and fitting of the show.
I was like, with your story, it's probably that perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like those nice intimate.
It's awesome.
Real DIY vibe. The right piece.
And you open tomorrow, do you not?
We do.
Yay.
We
do.
All right. As Peggy Lee likes to sing, Mañana.
Oh, yes.
So how long are you playing?
We are playing throughout the month of August. Uh-huh. We have a bunch of sporadic dates, if I can share them.
Sure, go ahead.
They are August 1st, August 9th, August 12th, August 15th, the 22nd, and the 24th.
And where can folks go to get... Oh, at 8:30. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
All yes.
Where can folks go to get information?
At ms-broadtheater.eventbrite.com.
Or to be a little easier, Facebook. If you just go to Eventbrite and search, you could probably find it. That's how I did it. You could even do it on the Google.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Really,
thanks.
Really appreciate
excited.
It. And good luck with the performance. It sounds like amazing.
Thanks.
Amazing piece. Okay, that was Molly Fonseca and Annika Lechvin with Broad Theater's production of MS by Molly Fonseca. August 1st through 24th, the Pony Shed, the Vortex. For more information, search Eventbrite for Broad Street Theater MS. We will be right back. And I know you've heard this several times, but this time it's for real.
It's that good.
If he's not exact, he may crush the motor track.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hello. We're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about some local happenings. One of the things that I want to mention is... hold on, I want to find it, because it's the new Manifest Theater Company. They're doing a small, I'm going to try to find what they're calling it. It's a small...
It's like short plays.
Short plays,
right?
Yes. Short play festival. And you can find information at newmanifest.org. It is going to be at the Motion Media Arts Center, August 1st through 4th. Also, our friends at Trouble Puppet have a very interesting...
I know, I saw a little.
Along with the band Mother Falcon, which is an amazing band, they are doing American Blood Song. It's at the Vortex, and it is about the Donner Party.
I saw this all, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Have y'all ever seen any of the Trouble Puppet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Trouble Puppet, they do some amazing work there. Their puppets are just incredible.
They do it right.
I actually had a short play in about roaches in one of their puppet show, one of their
awesome
gigs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We built roach puppets out of... fan blades.
Yeah, there are not enough plays about roaches, if
no.
you ask
no,
me.
No, I know.
All right, let's just jump right into Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History?
Today in Theater History. We're going to just jump right
Lisa?
Into it. Well, back in 1967...
Yes?
That
was a good summer.
Judy Garland had a four-week engagement at the Palace Theater.
Oh.
She followed the first act of the vaudeville comic Jackie Vernon, a soft shoe and tap dancer, John Bubbles, mm-hmm. and juggler, Francis Brunn, and she did a cabaret act.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. At the, it's the beginning of the, what's the new series called that they're doing? You know, when Yanni...
oh, the Broadway series.
Yes.
The one that,
it's that the precursor
Morrissey
of that.
Just did and yes. Yanni's doing. Yeah.
So this is interesting. 1969, Joseph Bush, who is a writer, he adapted the De Sade Illustrated at the Off-Broadway Bowery Theater. He threw white paint all over the set of his own show. His reason was because a nude scene that he didn't approve had been added to the show. So he trashed the set. 1969.
Okay.
It was a different time back
bet
then.
Bet you he got fined.
I bet you he did. There was an all-black adaptation of Alice in Wonderland at the Long Acre. It only ran for 8 performances, and it was called...
This is the 80s?
1979. It was called But Never Jam Today.
Why do I feel like I knew that?
I did not. 2003, the opening of Avenue Q.
Aww.
I know. Guess how many performances it played on Broadway?
Oh, I was...
on Broadway.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 on Broadway.
Give I saw that at the, when I was working at the O'Neill. I saw them workshop Avenue Q.
Awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
2,534 performances.
Oh, wow.
And here's something that I did not know. In 2004, there was a review featuring songs from classic Disney films called On the Record. It closed in Denver, and it's the first Disney legit show to not play Broadway.
I think I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't.
And it's when they were expanding their theatricals department.
Yeah. Then there was a, totally forgot about this. There's the musical of the First Wives Club.
Oh, I didn't forget about that. A lot of people probably did, but
yeah, didn't do very well. But the libretto was Rupert Holmes, and finally, Gore Vidal passed away at age 86 in 2012. He now shares a death anniversary
like
with Hal Prince.
Prince.
He had a whole bunch of different plays, including A Visit to a Small Planet, Weekend, The Revival of the Best Man, etc. Other birthdays, Wesley Snipes, Geraldine Chaplin, and Daniel Evans.
Well, bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire. So let's just hear a little bit of, Avenue Q.
Oh, I wish you could meet my girlfriend.
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We also have here with us Candace Rusk and Craig Tungate.
Yes.
Welcome, the two of you.
Thank you.
Welcome back, I should say. You were both here 2 years ago talking about this same show.
I can't believe it was that long.
It was. Now you can believe it. So, Candace Rusk, you wrote this show and producing it. What is it?
So, actually, what's going on is that I did write the original book, but I brought on Kim Yule to write the new book.
Yep.
So there's
so it's the New Testament of Rosetta.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
But it is an original musical. It takes for inspiration from the life of Rosetta Tharpe, who is considered to be the godmother of rock and roll. And we take people on a kind of a fantastical journey this time, and it's going to be pretty wild. But you'll recognize some of the songs because we did drop a couple of them in. And just so people know, it's a developmental workshop. So we're kind of going back to page one with some of our old songs embedded. And kind of some of the same characters, but we've got a great cast for this.
Who's in the cast? I know Matrix Kilgore is in there.
Yes, Matrix is playing Russell, who is becomes Rosetta's husband.
Uh-huh.
We have Michelle Alexander as Rosetta.
No schlock there.
Yes.
Jessica O'Brien is playing Marie.
Lovely. We love Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
You love all these people.
We have Jeremy Richard Brown is directing.
Yep.
See, who did I forget in the cast?
And a couple other people that...
Candace, I'm going to ask you to talk into the microphone.
Yeah, and
please.
A couple other people that... that you'll see on stage, but we're still putting some of the cast together.
Awesome. So this is a staged reading or just a reading?
Yep, staged reading.
Staged reading.
Tyler Mabry is musical director.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a a mixed cast. I mean, just in terms of ages.
I was just about to say that's really knowing how they're acting and they're, like that's an eclectic group of folk. How exciting is that?
So, to have Candace, all those people for those. In there? Exactly. So, Candace, for those people that don't know, who was Rosetta, Sister Rosetta Sharp? Starp?
She was born in 1915 and died about 1973.
Yeah.
And she was actually a pioneer just in terms of her guitar work. She was a really just extraordinary and actually did call and answer. She started out in gospel and used her guitar to do call and answer sometimes when she didn't have an
and
ensemble.
I would think back in those days a woman playing guitar wasn't very all that common.
Still unusual, but you know, one of the great things about Rosetta is she came from Cotton Plant, Arkansas originally, and so she was her dad was a musician. I understand all there's been some communication that maybe that was not true, but anyway, she picked up a lot of the old blues, the Delta blues kind of style, and so her style of playing is not what you normally hear in gospel music. And she played, eventually became one of the first electric guitar players. She played one of the first Les Pauls that you had,
and she also detuned.
Yeah, she played what's called
a really
fastball.
That's interesting.
Yeah, people
really?
Had a hard time sometimes imitating her because they can't figure out her tunings. Yeah.
And it's Craig, like you wrote some of the original music that's part of this, or all of it.
Yeah, I wrote all the music. She wrote the lyrics.
Right. Candace. So it's interesting to write original music about a musician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, frankly, there's a couple of other plays out there that use her music, but essentially we decided, I come from a Roman Catholic background, so I've got Gregorian chants in me, not necessarily. Craig really comes from a Church of Christ background, so he really gets the...
Not church, but anyway, large hill, yes.
So we have that in common. I come from a Jewish background.
Okay, all right.
And so the musical style of gospel is a little unfamiliar. But and I love Rosetta's music, but essentially we wanted to write songs about her life that she... couldn't tell that she couldn't, like, she fell in love with Marie. There's a romantic song. She's having trouble ascertaining where she is at the beginning of the play. There's a song called On the Edge, At the Edge, in which she feels like she's at the edge of the universe and wondering what's going on. So we were able to dramatize and also write a song, a great song that Matrix does called Some Shade about Russell singing. And so there's some...
Which is Cotton Club style because she was the first gospel artist to actually cross over.
Right. I knew her from that. I knew that. I didn't realize... I knew she was from Arkansas, but I didn't realize the roots of all that. I knew she was in
She went to Chicago when she was like six with her mom. And so she also grew up in that...
Bluesy, and
with blues clubs like around the corner from the tabernacle that they were going to, so there was probably some bleed over there. Her mother also played mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now she had a relationship with another woman, correct?
I think it's actually not really sure how many, but yeah.
Well, but again, that's something that was definitely frowned upon at the day, but also not really heard of and really not dealt with. So she was breaking all sorts of barriers back then.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting person.
So why Rosetta? Why now?
My basic inspiration is when I was playing guitar as a kid, and my guitar teacher really didn't like me. I couldn't figure out if it's because I was a woman or I was a girl or didn't practice, or probably both. But... But if I would have seen a photograph of Rosetta Tharp with her huge Gibson or Gretsch or Les Paul, that beautiful F-hole, she played some of the most fantastic guitars, I would have known that there was an inspiration prior. And I would have known that women could actually play. Right. Because the only woman who was around was Les Paul's...
Mary Ford.
Mary Ford.
I was going to say Mary Ford's the only one I could think of.
There really weren't that many... although there have been other, there were other black women guitarists there right around Rosetta's time. But she gets into a little bit of a conversation with Mahalia Jackson, who was her peer, and then actually jettisoned into great fame while Rosetta was kind of descending. Right. And so that was an interesting conflict.
So what are some of the main differences of this Rosetta versus the 2017 Rosetta?
I was just about to ask that, Lisa.
Okay, so you know that there's been seven workshops of this, and it did start out as a two-hander at Frontier Fest and also won Best of the Fest.
Right.
So it went from two people with the Gina Houston and Julia Jones to a cast of, I don't know, 15, well, depending
at
on
one point,
who's doubling and who's writing the script. But essentially, I wanted to... I really want to. Kim Yule is writing the book, and she's pretty experience and actually dramaturged Crowns, Regina King's Crowns, and also worked with Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. She wrote... I'm blanking.
It's okay. We all blank sometimes.
Yeah.
So you brought in the writer to help you.
Yeah, I asked her to dramaturg, and then mm-hmm. finally I realized culturally, you know, honestly, I've written 50 versions of Rosetta. I'm not afraid to put other diverse characters into my play, but I just really wanted to hear the voice of a black woman behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It felt important to have that point of view.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she was experienced and was there and was willing. I sent her the book. She's got a musical background. She agreed to do it. So.
And Craig, is there new music in the piece from?
Yeah, we have new music because when she took over and started writing, you know, some things just dropped, different characters uh-huh. and stuff. And we had to create some new scenes and, you know, like, in this particular production, I'm playing Lou Jacoby, we're calling him, which is a manager from New York. And he gets to do a little comic.
And you're great at it. And by the way, that's Lynn Nottage. So she dramaturged for Lynn Nottage.
Well, you know, I want to make sure before we run out of time, you brought a little piece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You brought a little piece of music. Let's let it play for a little while, and then we'll see and maybe talk.
Is actually when Marie and Rosetta are on the road. It's called From the Belly.
Okay, here it is. It's really beautiful. So this is, who's that singing?
That is actually, it's from a previous 2 years ago. Sonia uh-huh. Moore, Judy Franklin, and Feliz Dia McDonald.
Well, it's beautiful. It sounds wonderful. So where are you, when does this happen?
It's happening at the Ground Floor Theater.
Uh-huh.
And we're very grateful for that.
And what are the dates?
It's only going up two nights, a developmental workshop, August 20th and the 21st.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
We have a web page or a Facebook page, uh-huh. But I don't remember.
You can also go to groundfloortheater.org, look at the upcoming shows, and that will give you a link right to the
Sounds
ticket
easy.
Site.
Thank you, yes. Lisa.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for being on.
It was a pleasure. It was great to talk.
Great.
Wonderful. Cool. And hopefully one or both of you can stick around and join us backstage.
Love to.
Wonderful. So that was Candace Rusk and Craig Tungate of Candace Rusk's Rosetta, August 20th and 21st at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org. And let's listen to a little bit from the woman herself.
Got on my traveling shoes. I feel like traveling.
Sometimes I just feel like traveling.
I know. Me too.
What a great energy she has. I really didn't want to turn it off.
No, I know. I agree. Yeah. And I love today we had on two women playwrights. Can we just talk about that?
Yeah, we did. We're lots of estrogen
There's
in this
many
room today.
Of us out there.
Yeah, there are. Two women ladies on the mic.
those are my favorite kind of women.
We're women ladies.
WLs, we like to call them. It was a fun show. Lots of stuff happening. I'm looking forward to both of those pieces. And fortunately, I know I get to see Rosetta because it's happening at Ground Floor. This week, we did it. This week, we got through August.
We
got through July.
I know.
Hopefully, we'll get through August.
Woo!
So remember, like us on the Facebook. Tweet us on the Twitter.
Yep.
You can get us in all the places where you would get any kind of podcasting material.
Stitchers, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, we'll stitch up.
But there's one great
way. Yeah, we'll send it right to you.
That's right. You just go right to our website, offstageonair.com. Enter your name in that little box and hit enter, and voila, Lisa and I appear each week.
And when you go to offstageonair.com later today, when I post the show, you'll be able to click on a link for and read all about Hal Prince and his incredible contributions to the American theater scene and life in general, I'll just say.
His legacy, as we like to say.
His legacy.
Yes.
So that's it. So we're gonna go out with... So Be More Chill, just even though they're closing... know. Didn't do as well as they wanted to do.
I'm surprised.
But they did. They did do a cast album.
They made an album. They did.
And this is how I feel about going into rehearsal, because I have a rehearsal tonight, and it is called I Love Play Rehearsal.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you know, I don't call it play rehearsal. I call it play practice.
Because we're two cool women ladies who like to go cool to play practice.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Oh, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They're next here on the Terrestrial Radio. Of course, backstage at Offstage was where you learn about our guests. That happens directly after this if you're listening on the podcast, and I don't know why you're not. So stand by for Austin Monitor News, and we will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.
Au revoir.
Maybe not. Darn it.
It'll happen again. It's just one of, it's gremlins. Gremlins.
Yeah, I don't know gremlins. What the problem is this time.
No, Candace reminded me earlier, it is Mercury's in retrograde, so the gremlins are in full force. I love play
rehearsal. There it is, we got it.
You are equipped with directions and text. Life is easy in rehearsal. You follow a script, so you know.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Jersey Shore, the musical. The story of a reality show group of people that live in a radio station, but get caught there. I don't know what that means.
Oh, there's a lot.
I've never seen the Jersey Shore. So here we are backstage. The show is over. We've left the backstage area. We're here standing by the dumpsters.
It's 110.
It is 110, so we're sweating. So here joining us, we have Molly Fonseca.
Hello.
Hello. We have Candace Rusk. Hello. And you have to be a little bit more animated than that. Let's hear that again.
Hello.
Okay. We're going to try to turn you up, but I don't have a lot of power, so you're going to have to speak up a little louder. But it's okay. Right? We'll just stop right there. No, you don't have to say hello again. And Craig Tungate. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Now, did y'all come backstage before?
Yes.
Candace and Craig? Okay. Good. So we know everything there's about you. So in that case, I want to start with, and actually, I love it when we have a relatively small group, because it can be more of a conversation than just an interview. And that's sort of what I want. But Molly, what's your story? Where'd you come from?
Oh, my goodness. So much I could tell you. Well, jeez, just for days.
Pick something. Where did you? Yeah. What geographically? Where did you come from?
Oh, geez. I guess geographically, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh.
But I've lived in Austin for about 10 years now.
Did you do theater in Omaha?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay. I mean, a friend of mine's husband had a theater there.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah,
do you know the name of it?
I would know it if I heard it, but
Blue
I can't.
Blue Barn?
Remember.
Is it Blue Barn Theater?
I don't think it's the Blue Barn.
Okay. Well,
can't remember.
No, and I've been in Austin for about 10 years, just kind of acting around.
Kind of acting up.
Around,
did
yeah.
you? So you did acting in Omaha?
I mean, I was a kid.
Okay.
So, but I did do acting.
Where did you get that acting bug? What happened to make
my
you?
My mom made us all do an activity as a kid, uh-huh. and I have a lot of brothers, and they all played sports, and sports make me cry.
Yeah.
So I did theater instead, and my first play was Legend of Sleepy Hollow at this children's theater there called the Emmy Gifford, and uh-huh. then they became the Rose Theater, which is still like a very popular, children's theater, and they do a lot yep. of education things. And that's what I did until I went off to college.
And where did you go to college?
I went to this really small private school called Avila University.
Where's that?
It's
in Kansas City.
Avila?
Avila.
Mm-hmm. Avila.
And then I got
that.
My master's at Fayetteville in University of Arkansas.
And both of those were in your undergrad and theater.
I just love student loans. You know, I just thought, let's really go for this.
Let's go. If Excellent. I'm going to go, let's go yeah. all
you
in.
Know, I really yeah. want to feel this.
Why not? Feel
life.
The burn.
Do
you
it
know,
all.
There was that's a whole other story. So we'll talk about student loans at some other at some other
the
moment.
Whole other
so you did this about. Children's theater, and so did your mom rue the day that she sent you to that acting class?
Oh my God,
that's what
no.
you.
My parents, both of my parents, are the most supportive people. They are just really glad that their kids love things and want to uh-huh. do things, and they've really worked their whole lives to support all of their children.
Are they
endeavors.
Still in Omaha?
They are, and they're okay. actually coming to Austin to come see my play. So
oh, that's nice.
Awesome that they are, yeah.
That's
great
nice.
Folks.
Well, you know, I was just thinking. Well, that's yet another show about my poor, unfortunate childhood and my parents that didn't come see me on Broadway. But that's a whole other story.
We only had one night to get there.
That's true. That's true. It's probably I told him not to come. When did you finish your master's?
2009.
Okay.
So no, wait, no, that's Austin. Not right.
No, it's okay.
That is right. 2009.
2009. Yeah.
I just moved here.
Just for the heck of it?
Mm-hmm. I moved here with another guy that we both graduated, and we tried to start a theater company here in Austin. It just didn't work out.
But you were I'm jiving it.
What was the theater company that you...
Sustainable Theater Project.
Okay, right. I think I remember it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't get to talk about it before, but this new theater company that's doing MS Broad Theater, this is its inaugural production, is it not?
Yes.
And it's you and Annika putting it together.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we met. We haven't known each other very long. We met working for Street Corner Arts. We did Junk earlier.
Which supposedly
this year.
Was amazing. I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, we had a great time, and we just met each other and thought, like, we were both separately bemoaning just wanting to work on something that we were both inspired by and kind of wanting to produce our own work. And so I just kind of said, like, why don't we team up? We both don't need to try to do this individually. So let's just see what happens. And this is what we're trying.
And you have a mission of supporting women in your theater. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting that you chose broad theater, which is really a pejorative term. For women.
Right. You know, theater for broads. And when we also it was Annika's idea, actually. She thought it was also funny because we both have kind of broad talents.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's a lot of you can do a lot with that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we're not an expert in any specific.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I'd roll with it. I'd be like, oh my God, you're so old school. But there's a little old biddy that lives inside me.
So that's great. Do you hope that the theater company does more? Do you have plans to continue on producing?
Yeah, we do. You know, we're just kind of doing a slow roll and seeing what happens after the show. We don't. We're just kind of being open to what
great.
Comes.
That's good.
We love having more theater. We want
the universe works best like that. Yeah, to be honest, with you.
That's what they say. Well, awesome. What about you, Candace?
Oh, okay. In terms of what?
Well, yeah, we kind of know
your history. Who are you, Candace?
Here's, am I really?
So we know of you as a playwright. Now we know of you as a producer. Did you ever perform?
reluctant producer.
Well, but that's
I did radio for a while. Mm-hmm.
What kind of radio?
I did. I had a talk show
On a community radio station or on a commercial radio station?
Yeah, in Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And I had a rock show in Wisconsin back in the 70s. But I really didn't like being on the air. I didn't. The fans were weird. I was just like, nope. I actually worked in housing for a while and didn't, you know, fell in and out of writing. I've had a couple of short stories published and also did poetry and also wrote songs since I was a kid.
Oh,
I
cool. just that's both that was both my, music and lyrics.
Yeah. And it was mostly making fun of kids in the neighborhood. But it was oh, good. They were very good. Clever.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
But I didn't. I wasn't a favorite of my theater teacher in high school, so I was never really allowed to get, you know, really immerse myself in theater.
It's funny. I think you and I talked about this before because my theater teacher did not like me either. Mm-hmm. So I did not do a lot of high school. I mean, I was working in theaters outside of the school, but at school, not
so
much.
When I left the High School of Performing Arts here and moved to New York and went to the regular high school, the teacher fired me in the play and told me I had no talent. And I said, well, you might want to tell the equity card that I've been working for 15 years professionally. Well,
but I think that in a way, though, that my fire didn't get burned out. And
I just
was able to sit back and then it came to me naturally. Then
it riled me up more. Did it rile you up more, Lisa? I mean, I could have cared less what Bruce Campbell had to say, to be quite honest with you.
I don't know. And Craig, you're a musician.
I am a musician since 1973.
I wasn't even alive in 1973. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, and I grew up here. But I did a lot of theater in high school and in
you
college.
Did? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You went to theater
I went
to high school here?
I went to high school in Round Rock.
Round Rock. Oh, sorry.
So, as did Back Michelle in the day. Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was
about to say she's a little bit older than you.
Yeah, it literally wasn't even the same building. But anyway, and then at North Texas, I studied there in North Texas.
Did we talk about this before? Because you know that's where I went.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for 1 year, and then I moved up to New York. I was in the theater department.
Yeah, and I loved it. And I was thought of it earlier because we were talking about Faye Dunaway, and I was doing a play there with Celeste Holm one time at North Texas, and Joan Crawford came to our show.
And so no way.
Yeah, so we got, because she called all her friends. So all these celebrities who lived in the Dallas area showed up. Jeez. And so there's Joan Crawford in our backstage, and I'm like,
oh my God. What year were you there?
71 through 74.
Okay, so you were there just a little bit before me. Mm-hmm. Were you part of the theater department?
I was.
Was Dr. Hamilton still there?
Dr. Hamilton was still there.
And Carl Martyr.
I was just going to say,
he had a big mischievous smile before he even answered
Dr.
that.
Dr. Hamilton
was so
quite
funny.
A character. I was one of Dr. Hamilton's students. Dr. Hamilton was about 4'2" tall. He was known for almost getting the part of Willie Loman. And he used to say, Ms. Sheps, you are no kind of goddamn actor. That's why you're in my show. He was kind of a Snidely Whiplash kind of legendary in a way. And he was,
Oh. And I wrote my first show for a musical in North Texas.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So do you play multiple instruments?
I do. I'm mostly a guitarist, but I play bass and some drums and a little keyboard, you know.
But NTSU, which it was known as the time, and still is, I suppose, a very well-known music school.
Great music school.
And they were known for the 5 o'clock jazz band.
1
o'clock. I liked the 5 o'clock.
The one o'clock.
You know why? Because it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah, you need some booze.
I used to live in the Quads dorm, which was closed down the year after I lived there.
Okay.
But it was across the street from the rehearsal hall that the lab bands were in, and they told me, said, yeah, you can go see the 1 o'clock lab band, but do not open your mouth, because if you open your mouth, you'd be banned for life. You'll never get to come back. So that's great.
So you were a music major, though, not a theater
I was
major.
No, I was theater major.
Oh, you were? Okay, cool.
Was,
awesome, good for you.
And I didn't do very well in it, because I couldn't handle all the stage props and all the stuff I was supposed to do, but right. I did a lot of productions, and I loved that, and I was in the choir. So cool. I did a lot of everything.
Well, awesome. I was like, you were multi-active.
We have a little bit of connection. I would have thought that I predated you, but you predated me, so that makes me feel good.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Whatever we can do to make you feel good.
I want to say that Craig plays, there's actually a white guy in Rosetta, and he plays
well,
the manager.
That's good, because he is a white guy.
I know, but
that was really, it would be
but
very
what about to say,
so Kim
be
came up with a Kim
going
came,
on.
Kim came up with a really great device in using Rosetta's manager, and Craig fit right into the role. It kind of freaked me out when I told him about it. I wrote a song called what is it?
What would I be without? Where would you be without me?
And it's name of, and Craig embodies him almost perfectly. But do we have time for you to tell the story of how you met the actual one of the actual Lou Jacoby? We were gigging.
The type, yeah. I started a band with some folks here in Austin back in 1986 called Rotel and the Hot Tomatoes. And we were playing a gig back in like the late 80s for the Rodeo Association. And we were going to be backing. Our band was going to be backing the Coasters, the Drifters, and the Dixie Cups. And so we show up, and they're on this tour together.
Sometimes you can put a Dixie Cup on a coaster.
That's works. That works too.
And then it can drift away.
Which is good, because the Dixie Cups were the only ones who were original. Everybody else had like one person that was still original band.
Sure.
Anyway, they showed up, and here was this guy who was the embodiment of what she had talked about, And he's just... And so he shows up, and he's got his big cigar, and he's talking about how we're going to do this and do that, And he calls me, he says, show up. All you need to bring is a piano. So, okay, I didn't trust him. I brought everything. You show up on the stage is a piano. That's all that's there. So I had to bring everything up. And then he gave all these guys from the 50s, they're doing three songs apiece. Well, songs from the 50s last 2 minutes. And we're supposed to do an hour show. Uh-huh. And I'm like, this is not going to work, dude. So I had to, stretch and all that. So he decides in the middle of it, he's going to stretch. So he's standing on the side and he's talking to the guy in the drifter. He's going, stretch, stretch, stretch it. And so the guy starts, anybody got a birthday in the house? Come on down and join us. We're on a revolving stage. And all these people start coming down all those stands and getting on the stage. And the people in the Rodeo Association are freaking out because, the stage is going around and all these people are getting on. And we're like, ah.
Can you imagine the songs of the 50s? You have 5 minutes. All of them had three hits.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah, but these guys had plenty. And I was like, the Drifters, you can play, at least, sing at least four or five more songs. Yeah. He said, can you help me with the lyrics? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. No problem.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here backstage. I apologize for the dumpster smell, but I think they're emptying them tomorrow. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you later. Bye.
Thank you.
They say the